Morning, everyone. Let's turn to Romans 1, verses 21 to 32. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or gave thanks, but he became futile in their speculations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image of in the form of corruptible men and of the birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also, the man abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire towards one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind, to those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, and those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give a hearty approval to those who practice them. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, God, Lord, I just lift up this time into your hands. Thank you for bringing all of us here this morning to start the week to meet with you, Lord. We just want to consecrate this time before you and just give you our first fruits this morning, our first fruit of time, our first fruit of our strength, Lord God. Father, I just pray that this morning your word will come alive for us, that it will give us encouragement and strength to soldier on as a follower of Christ and to give us strength for the rest of the week. Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So basically, at the women's retreat last year, both Lena and Lisa, who were speakers at the retreat, encouraged us to read scripture and be in the presence of God. In particular, Lena raised the example of how most of her once passionate Christian friends who wanted to be missionaries or ministers just one day decided to turn their backs on their faith, and some even become atheists. We actually hear a lot of these stories about pastors or ministry leaders who were once fervent for God and wants to do God's work, and then just one day fell from grace and never really returned to ministry again. I guess in less extreme examples, we might even personally know friends who were once Christians and who were really involved at church, but actually backslid to a point where they just lead lives like non-Christians. So that made me really think, like, how does one fall so far from where they once were? And how does one, after having tasted the goodness of God and experienced his faithfulness, then one day say no to all of that? And at the retreat, the speaker, Lena, proposed that it's possibly because after their conversion, they didn't really spend a lot of time in scripture or be in the presence of the Lord to work out their salvation. So they didn't allow or continue to allow scripture and the Holy Spirit to renew their minds. And thus, either they remained where they were or they reverted back to their pre-conversion lifestyle. Just as a side point, like, when she was explaining all of this, whether they are ultimately saved, even though they have backslid, and whether their then conversions were true, no one really knows except for God. But what is certain is that when we are not continually in the presence of God, the enemy tries to attack us and kind of try to side rail us. And so what's certain is that they are missing out and not living the abundant life that's available in Christ Jesus. So after the retreat, that really gave me an inspiration to really spend time reading scripture, which I was severely lacking. I decided to follow like a Bible plan, even if it's just 5 to 10 minutes every day. And even if I just read words off the page and there's no revelation, there's no big Holy Spirit moment, it's still better than not reading the Bible at all. So it's kind of like working out. Some workout is better than no workout, right? So the benchmark is kind of low for me, but I got to start somewhere. So for the first 2 days of starting this plan, I was literally just reading words off the page, and nothing really came alive for me until the third day that the Holy Spirit really highlighted to me Romans 1, verses 21 to 32. So that's the passage that we just read, and how one might get from being in an intimate relationship with God to completely just falling off the roads and just not on his path anymore. So let's go back and take a look at the verses again in detail so that we can see how, like, the process of how one might fall from knowing God to completely rejecting him. So in verses 21 to 22, it says, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their hearts were and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools." So as I was reading this, the first thing that happened is that even though they knew God, so these people actually have met God, they know him, but they didn't honor him as God. So I was reading Matthew Henry's commentary, and so what this means is that, like, their affection, their awe, and adoration didn't really keep in pace with the knowledge of God. So even though they know that God is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, they didn't attribute their affection, and they didn't respect him as such. And so the second thing that happened is that they didn't give thanks to God, which is in verse 21. So they were ungrateful and not thankful for the favors that they received from God. And because their speculations, or in the English Standard Version, their thinking became futile, their hearts were darkened. And then in verse 22, then arrogance starts to take over, where they think that they are wise, but they are actually fools. So from just these two verses, it all starts from our attitude towards God, which affects our thinking, and then it affects our hearts, and then it affects our perceptions about ourselves. It gets to a point where, oh, we think that we know everything, but actually we became fools. And then in verse 23, it says, "And then they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures." So after our minds kind of left God and stopped honoring him as God, the next step down the spiral is that they started to idolize creatures rather than the creator. So in the modern, so in the old context, it could be like these four-footed animals or crawling creatures, but in the modern context, it might not be like a physical idol, but it could be an intangible thing like money, fame, comfort, convenience, relationships, family, etc. So they're worshiping these things instead of God. So the next thing is idolatry, basically. And then in verse 24 to 25, "And therefore God gave them over to the lust of their hearts, to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator." And because they were persistent in their wayward thinking and idolatry, God decided to give them up and allow them to continue in their ways. So in Matthew Henry's words, God is kind of removing the grace of restraining them from them because they want to continue on this path. So actually, when I was reading this, it was kind of scary that actually, like, when I think back of all the times that God has restrained me from doing something, at the time it might be, oh God, why aren't you giving this to me? But actually, it is for our own good, and that his grace towards us is so that we don't fall into this path of sin. But if we're persistent in not obeying him, then it is possible, as it says here in verse 24, that he could give us over to the lust of our hearts, and he could remove his restraint and let us learn our lesson the hard way. This actually makes me think, as a parent, you know, my daughter loves to eat junk food all the time, And she basically like nags me to no end. And sometimes I just like give in. Sometimes like if she really wants to eat something like a chip that's really spicy and she keeps nagging me and she doesn't believe me, I say, fine, you go ahead and eat it. And then she gets like her mouth is all burned. And I'm like, see, that's what I told you. It's actually a much more, sometimes learning the lesson the hard way and let them do what they want is sometimes a much more effective way of helping them learn. So I guess God sometimes also use this strategy on us as well. And when I first read this, I was like, oh, wow, like if I keep on disobeying, that God might give me over to the lust of my heart, which could lead down to a, you know, downward spiral of sin. Well, isn't that really unloving for God to do so? And then actually Matthew Henry puts it this way. He says that if a patient is stubborn and wouldn't take the physician's advice and willfully does things that are harmful to his health, if he gets worse, or dies, it's really not the physician's fault, but it's the fault of the illness and the willfulness of the patient. So at the end of the day, if we don't want to, like even, you know, no matter how God or our community or pastor tells us, hey, you shouldn't be doing this, it's for your own good, and we continue to do it, like we could learn the lesson the hard way. Whilst God is ever so merciful and graceful, and he would always welcome us back into his arms if we turn around, you know, but the process of healing is always, you know, it's not always easy, right? Okay, so then, so after God gives them over to the lust of their hearts, in verse 26, it says that for this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for the women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire towards one another, men with men committing indecent acts. So because they exchanged the truth for a lie, as it says in verse 25, and after God decided to allow them to indulge in their lustful hearts, they moved on to actually commit the sinful acts, which are the manifestations of the heart. So in this particular instance, Paul uses sexual immorality, but I think so the process is, it affects, once we start to depart from God, it affects our mind, we persist in that. So all of that up until verse 24, the sin is in our minds and in our hearts. But now in verse 26, we see that it actually manifests out into actions if we don't, if we're not aware that, you know, we're straying away from God and we start to think and, you know, all this thinking is starting to translate into our actions. And then moving on to verse 28 to 31. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind, to those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, etc. And so because they did not see fit to acknowledge God in their walks, in their lives, i.e. they did not retain God in their knowledge because they did not like it, they say to God, leave my mind as it contradicts my lustful desires. So God gave them over to a depraved mind. So at first, God gave them over to their lustful desires, but now it has gotten worse. Now their mind is actually depraved. Depraved meaning what you would consider bad or evil, they think it's good or okay. So at this point, their thinking, their logic, their reasoning, and their spiritual things are, in the spiritual realm, are completely messed up, and they cannot discern their right hand from their left hand. And because they think that the lies of Satan are truths, they thus act accordingly. They have now moved on to fully commit all these sinful acts, not just sexual immorality, but also unrighteousness, wickedness. And actually, what really stood out for me is that it says here, they are inventors of evil. So just committing evil acts isn't enough, but their mind is so depraved that they're able to invent new evil acts. And that's a really scary thought, actually. And then finally, this is not the worst part, it gets worse. So in verse 32, that, and although they know the ordinance of God, and those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but they also give a hearty approval to those who practice them. So finally, in verse 32, even though they know what God thinks is right, and they know that what they're doing is so bad that they deserve to, you know, they deserve to be punished, not only do they continue to do those things, but they give a hearty approval to those who practice them as well. So imagine this. A murderer who killed someone, and then another person says, hey, well done. Well done for killing that person. You did a fantastic thing. Like, doesn't that just sound like straight out from Satan's mouth? So we see from... So these verses were really sobering to me, actually, that, you know, the process of first just a little thing like dishonoring God up to this point in verse 32 where you approve of people sinning and, you know, give them a pat on the back. And what I really see here is that backsliding doesn't just happen overnight, but it's a process. And it starts with our attitude and our thinking, and then it starts to affect our hearts, and then it affects our actions. Even though the passage this morning might be a bit grim, like, I think it's a good cautionary tale for all of us that this could be, it possibly could be our fate if we don't continue to seek the presence of the Lord and be immersed in his word and, you know, allow the Holy Spirit to continually work in us. So as it says in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be of sober mind, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. So as we all know, the famous verse in Ephesians 6 that we should put on the armor of God, right? And one of the things is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And after reading this, I really feel the inspiration to really be immersed in scripture. And since this year we're looking, our theme this year is the spiritual, like things concerning the spiritual. Also, when we read scripture, we should pray and allow the Holy Spirit to really let the word renew our minds and renew our hearts so that we could stay on the path of God and what God wants us to do and really experience the abundant life that's available in Christ. So can I invite Jay to come up to lead us in a time of worship? If this morning you feel like you're in this place where, oh yeah, like I feel like I haven't really spent as much time as I should with the Lord, or I really got distracted by life, I really got distracted by these various things, and I haven't really been seeking the Lord as much as I should, I just want to pray for you right now. Lord God, I just pray for our church members, Lord, who really feel like, oh, they haven't been spending a lot of time with you. And I just pray against this guilt and shame in the name of Jesus right now. I just declare that that your Heavenly Father is more than happy to receive you as his child and into his loving arms, no matter what we've done. Lord God, I ask that for the Holy Spirit to speak to our church members, Lord God, who are experiencing this, for the Holy Spirit to really convict us, to really set apart some time every day in prayer and in scripture. And even if it's just 5 minutes to start off with, Lord, even if that's what we're able to give at the moment, it's better than nothing. And so, Lord God, yeah, I just pray that this morning that we start off the week having the strength and motivation to really be in your presence and seek out your truth and your word. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's really intercede for our family and friends who are suffering from cancer and who's going through chemo and radiation therapies. Thank you. And let's really intercede for our family and friends who are ill, but also really need the Word of God. Let's really pray for the Holy Spirit to work in them, for salvation belongs to the Lord. And yeah, just pray for the Lord to have mercy on them, Lord. Let's pray for healing. Let's ask for God's healing to be released over our family and friends who are suffering from various infirmities. For God to release healing and release hope into their situation. Let's lift up our friends who are looking for work, for God really to open up doors, for the Holy Spirit to speak to them, that when a job opportunity comes along, that they know that that's where God wants them to be, and for God to provide that opportunity that really matches their gifts and their passions. So let's lift up Hong Kong, the government, Wealth Gap, Revival, Churches, Sports Services, International, Shanti, Masters Beauty, Sons and Daughters, Christian Solidarity Worldwide, Mother's Choice, Hong Kong Korean Church, Hong Kong Students, Domestic Helpers, and the Families in Distress. Let's really pray for the Lord to have mercy on all of these groups. Let's lift up our CE and the government officials to really have the wisdom, and for the Holy Spirit to reside in their meetings, to really come up and execute policies that that are godly. Could just cover our staff, that that we would have unity, that we would really serve this church as we're serving the Lord, that we will serve with a cheerful heart. Please also cover P. Sam and P. Nate, who are traveling on a pastor's conference, for travel mercies, for the Holy Spirit to reveal amazing truths to them at this conference. Let's lift up our hospitality teams, especially P. Andrew and Ashley. Pray over them, that their team members, the hospitality team members, will be committed, that they will serve with a joyful heart, and just cover P. Andrew and Ash on their leadership as well. Let's lift up worship and sound and the AV team, and the leaders are P. Nate, Conrad, and P. Kenny. Just cover our leaders in these ministries, and also for the team members, that they will serve cheerfully and willingly, and just serving unto God. Finally, let's lift up our house churches who are meeting tonight. First Street Fontana, Cardin, Hopewell, Kowloon, Lido, OPO, and Soho. Let's really pray for them to have amazing fellowship, for them, for the Holy Spirit to be amongst them, for them to be able to share and just encourage each other. Pray. Heavenly Father, God, Lord, we just thank you for today. Thank you that you brought us here to really seek your face. And I just pray that for the rest of the week that we will continue to be in your presence and to be motivated to come into your word, and for the Holy Spirit to renew our minds. Help us to open our hearts to whatever it is that you are doing in our lives. Let your will be done and not ours. Thank you, Lord God. I just pray for the rest of the church, that as they go about their work and their lives for the rest of the week, that you'll be with them. Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.